seems highly unlikely that there's really anyone else who would benefit, at least in the way that North Korea and Kim Jong-un would.
Clues mount in the North Korea murder mystery. It's Tuesday, February 28th. This is VOA Asia. Hi, I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. We invite you to join us as well on our Facebook page at VOA Asia. Also ahead, a former top intelligence official assesses North Korea. South Korea presidential impeachment is in final phase. China and Taiwan's rocky relationship and a real-life Oscar drama. It's all on today's VOA Asia. The intrigue and mystery of the death of North Korean leader Kim Jong-un's half-brother continues, and if you've been following it, perhaps you've already spotted this. Seen in a Hong Kong airport bookstore and a photo posted on social media. It's a book about Kim Jong-nam already, although of course it has few details about his murder as the case continues to develop quickly each day. Following an autopsy, Malaysia's health minister has concluded the dose of the nerve agent VX given to Kim Jong-nam was so high it caused serious paralysis that killed him within 20 minutes.
It prevents the deactivation of neurochemical transmitter which causes muscle contraction and relaxation. There is an enzyme in that process. When you knock out that enzyme, then the muscle goes into a state of permanent contraction. The doses were so high, so it would have affected the heart, it would have affected the lungs, it would have affected everything.
Closed-circuit video taken at the Kuala Lumpur International Airport's budget terminal on February 13th appeared to show two women shoving something in Kim Jong-nam's face. He sought medical help and died on the way to a hospital. The two women and a North Korean man are in police custody, and Malaysia says it is seeking several others, including a North Korean diplomat at its embassy in Kuala Lumpur. The Korea Economic Institute's Troy Stangerone tells VOA's Victor Beatty it's hard to conclude any entity other than North Korea carried out the attack.
Right now, the series of suspects all tied to North Korea. North Korea is a state that is not party to the Chemical Weapons Convention ban. They are known to have VX gas. And in terms of who else would benefit from the death of Kim Jong-nam, seems highly unlikely that there's really anyone else who would benefit, at least in the way that North Korea and Kim Jong-un would.
If, in fact, North Korea is implicated, did he pose an immediate threat to Kim Jong-un?
Not immediate. There have been discussions that he was approached by other defectors about running a government in exile, and he apparently had declined that. But my guess would be that speculation that he was even approached might have heightened the sense on North Korea's part to try and move forward with an assassination attempt.
We've been focusing so much on North Korea's missile and nuclear programs, we fail to remember sometimes that North Korea spent decades developing a sophisticated chemical weapons program.
North Korea has some of the largest stockpiles of chemical weapons in the world. These are the types of weapons that the United States, the Soviet Union, and others determined were simply too gruesome to continue using and to continue stockpiling. This is a situation to where, while nuclear weapons can be destructive, if a conflict were to break out tomorrow, South Korea not only would potentially be under threat from conventional weapons such as North Korea's artillery and missiles, but they could also potentially face significant casualties due to chemical weapons used by North Korea.
No next of kin has claimed the body of Kim Jong-nam. Does that surprise you now we're 2 weeks into this?
Not really. If the North Koreans did do this, and if you're his family and you are convinced that they have, traveling outside of China would only be opening invitation to North Korea going after you as well, specifically to potentially prove that the body is not Kim Jong-nam. There are reports that, understanding this, that the Malaysian police are going to China to meet with family members to get DNA samples to try and determine if it is Kim Jong-nam.
Troy Stangerone said that he doubts anyone will be punished for this attack unless it can be proven that the two women knew what they were doing and were not duped into participating in a non-lethal prank, as they allege. There's much more on our top story on our website, voanews.com, and their updates throughout the day on our Facebook page, VOA Asia. Stay with VOA Asia as a former top U.S. intelligence official gives VOA his assessment of the Kim Jong-nam murder. These are among the top Asia stories trending on VOANews.com. South Korea impeachment drama enters final act. China arrests 800 in crackdown on underground banking. First senior Chinese official visits Washington in Trump era. Pakistan races to tap virgin coal fields to meet energy crunch. Slowdown in Indonesia brings world's biggest gold mine to a standstill. You'll find expanded coverage of these stories and more on Facebook at VOA Asia and on the voanews.com website. We're happy to have you with us today on VOA Asia. The apparent assassination of the estranged half-brother of North Korean leader Kim Jong-un reflects instability and uncertainty in the North Korean leadership. And as former U.S. Defense Secretary Leon Panetta tells VOA, it also appears to be another killing in a series of purges the North Korean leader has carried out.
Well, it really confirms our worst suspicions about the regime in North Korea. He clearly is somebody who will not hesitate to kill anyone who either displeases him or if he suspects that individual of having opinions that are not in line with the leader.
The 45-year-old Kim Jong-nam died February 13th after he was allegedly poisoned by two women at Malaysia's Kuala Lumpur International Airport, and Malaysian police said the poison used to kill Kim was the deadly VX nerve agent banned under the Chemical Weapons Convention, which North Korea never signed. And while the investigation is still underway, police have arrested the two women, one North Korean national. They are seeking seven other North Koreans, including a diplomat in the Malaysian capital. South Korea believes North Korean leader Kim Jong-un ordered the killing of his brother, and North Korea has denied responsibility, accusing South Korea and Malaysia of plotting to have it blamed for the death. Panetta says Kim Jong-nam's death is another reminder that the North Korean leader is unpredictable and vicious.
If this is ultimately proven true, I think it'll only confirm the intelligence we have on the leader of North Korea.
Once deemed the legitimate heir to North Korea's ruling regime, Kim Jong-nam was known to be favored by China. Christine Wormuth, former Undersecretary for Policy at the U.S. Defense Department, said Kim's death can be seen as a snub to Beijing.
With the assassination of Kim Jong-un's half-brother in Malaysia, you know, one could read that as a sign that Kim Jong-un is basically showing the Chinese that he can reach all the way to Malaysia and take out the potential successor, you know, that China might have preferred.
Panetta believes Chinese leaders have long been concerned about Kim Jong-un's behavior, and the incident in Malaysia will further isolate his country.
For that reason, I think it's very important for us to continue to work with China to try to put pressure on that regime.
The news of the killing came amid heightened tensions over the North's recent missile test, which took place just a day before Kim died. Some U.S. lawmakers are now calling for returning North Korea back to the U.S. list of state sponsors of terrorism. Washington removed Pyongyang from the list in October 2008 as a part of a nuclear deal in which the communist state agreed to disable a plutonium plant and allow some inspections. Our thanks to writer Beth Hughes and VOA Korean reporters Jenny Lee and Cho Eun-jung for bringing us the story. Happening now in Asia, police killed a militant in Bandung, Indonesia, after he detonated a pressure cooker bomb in an office courtyard. The explosion did not cause any casualties. Police shot the attacker as he fled into a building. Authorities are investigating into possible terror group links. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. VOA Asia continues. The impeachment of South Korean President Park Geun-hye entered its final phase Monday as the Constitutional Court held its last hearing. And as acting president and Prime Minister Hwang Kyo-ahn refused to extend the independent counsel probe in the corruption scandal. In December, the National Assembly voted overwhelmingly to remove President Park from office for colluding with her longtime friend Choi Soon-sil to extort Korean conglomerates to donate over $69 million to two dubious foundations in exchange for favorable treatment or under the threat of tax audits. There were also other charges related to Park's allegedly negligent handling of the 2014 Sewol ferry disaster that killed over 300 people, and to Choi, who purportedly used presidential connections to gain her daughter admission into a prestigious university. President Park has been suspended from office during the Constitutional Court trial to review the legitimacy of the impeachment motion, a process that, by law, can take up to 6 months. She declined to attend the final hearing and has publicly maintained she is not guilty of the charges. The South Korean Constitution requires that at least 6 of the 9 top court justices concur to reach a valid ruling. 8 justices remain as terms expire, with another to leave March 13th. No new justices can be appointed during the impeachment process. The court has indicated it would strive to reach a verdict before the next justice steps down. Also on Monday, South Korea's acting president Hwang Kyo-ahn refused to extend the current special prosecutor's investigation into the presidential influence peddling scandal. Hong Kwon-hui is the spokesman for the prime minister. He says after much deliberation, the acting president has decided it would be best for the country's stability not to extend the special investigation and for the prosecutors to take over. The special prosecution team was appointed in December due to concerns that Justice Ministry prosecutors appointed by the Park administration could be perceived as having a conflict of interest in the investigation. President Park and her defense team have refused to cooperate with the investigation, and Acting President Hwang has denied a request to search her offices in the Blue House on national security grounds. E.Q. Chol is a spokesman for the special prosecution team, which had requested an extension to continue its investigation and expressed disappointment with Hwang's rejection. He says the special prosecutor thinks it is very regrettable that Acting President Hwang Kyo-ahn did not accept request of extension of investigation period while the investigation of the subjects of special prosecutor's law is not completed. Leaders of the Democratic Party, South Korea's main opposition party, said Monday it would seek to impeach the prime minister for refusing to extend the independent counsel investigation. The presidential influence peddling scandal and impeachment trial has deeply divided the nation. A number of opposing leaders have already declared their intention to run for president in an election to be scheduled within 60 days of the impeachment ruling if it's upheld. If the court rejects the impeachment, the presidential election will be held later this year as President Park's single 5-year term ends in early 2018. You're listening to VOA Asia.
Do you lead a busy life? Not always able to catch your favorite VOA radio or TV program? If you are keen to stay in touch with world news and events, give VOA Podcasts a try.
VOAnews.com.
Visit our website at VOAnews.com to learn how you can become a subscriber to VOA Podcasts and keep your life up to date.
VOA News, your trusted source for news and information.
This news alert from VOA Asia. A German hostage abducted from his yacht last year has been beheaded in the Philippines by the Islamic militant group Abu Sayyaf. Authorities say they exhausted all rescue efforts. Philippines authorities are trying to free additional hostages held by the group. All the big stories come your way throughout the day on VOA Asia Facebook. This is VOA Asia. VOA Asia continues. Relations between old rivals China and Taiwan have been shaken again over a foreign extradition case and Beijing's reinterpretation of a Taiwanese political holiday, stalling any prospects for dialogue or cooperation. China drew protest from Taiwan President Tsai Ing-wen's government last week when it found out that Spain would send about 200 Taiwanese nationals to China on suspicion of telephone fraud. Spanish and Chinese authorities found in December the suspects had used Spain as a base to defraud mainland Chinese victims. In a separate case, China challenged the motives behind an annual Taiwan holiday that marks the start of a deadly period of history 70 years ago. Lin Chongpin, retired strategic studies professor from Tongkang University in Taiwan, says new issues like these will delay any chances, which are already remote, of better relations between mainland China and Taiwan.
It would only add up to finally make the bulk of DPP members or leaders realize their current approach would not lead to anywhere. It takes time to add up to that.
China has seen Taiwan as part of its territory since the Chinese Civil War of the 1940s, though each is self-ruled. Last week, the government in Beijing took issue with the motive behind Taiwan's 228 Peace Memorial Day. It's an annual public holiday of more than 20 years. On February 28, 1947, a dispute between a cigarette vendor and an inspector in Taipei touched off an anti-government rebellion. Chiang Kai-shek, the national party leader in charge then, violently repressed the uprising for years, killing tens of thousands. Shane Lee, political scientist at Chungcheong Christian University in Taiwan, says people who remember 1947 want Taiwan's government to reveal more about what happened and the name Chung as a key figure.
They have to get to the top this year. I think they try to get Chiang Kai-shek. In the past, they only get to the generals under Chiang Kai-shek. He was the one that's really responsible.
Some analysts believe China and Taiwan are quietly looking for a way to restart dialogue, but Cohen Blau, executive director of the Washington-based advocacy group Formosan Association for Public Affairs, says to expect more bullying from China over the uncertainty it perceives since Donald Trump took office.
Even though Taiwan has signaled clearly that it does not want or plan to rock the boat in its relationship with China, it seems as if China is doing the exact opposite and is taking the gloves off.
Beijing, backed by the world's third most powerful military, has called any moves toward independence a red line for relations, and it hopes to eventually reunify the two sides. Developing at this hour in Asia, boxing legend and Filipino Senator Manny Pacquiao has announced an April 23rd bout against former British lightweight Olympic champion Amir Khan, who won a silver medal in 2004. Pacquiao and Khan are no strangers. They were both trained together by Freddie Roach. Stay informed all day on VOA Asia Facebook. Now on VOA Asia, if you're a movie fan and you happen to watch the annual Oscar ceremony in Hollywood, which was Sunday evening local time, you saw the program had its own surprise ending. The coming-of-age film Moonlight was named Best Picture, but after the musical La La Land was announced as the winner by mistake. Mike O'Sullivan reports that at the end of the evening, the Hollywood musical still had earned six awards while losing that key honor of Best Picture.
A romantic musical, La La Land earned awards for production design, original score, and original song. Its star Emma Stone earned the Oscar for Best Actress, and director Damien Chazelle was named Best Director. At 32, he is the youngest winner ever in that category. And the highlight of the evening, presenter Faye Dunaway named the winner of Best Picture, the final award of the evening.
La La Land.
That was wrong, and the error was quickly corrected.
There's a mistake. Moonlight, you guys won Best Picture.
Moonlight
won.
Moonlight, a coming-of-age tale of a gay black man, had really earned Best Picture, to the surprise of producers for both films. Moonlight co-star Mahershala Ali was named Best Supporting Actor, and the film earned an Oscar for its adapted screenplay. Viola Davis was named Best Supporting Actress for the drama Fences, a story centered on an African-American family and based on a Pulitzer Prize-winning play. Just 1 year after the Oscars were criticized for lacking diversity, African Americans were prominent among the nominees, and with Davis and Ali among the winners. Ali is also the first Muslim actor ever to win an Oscar. Accepting the Oscar for Best Supporting Actress, Davis said that stories like the one told in the film Fences explore the potential of ordinary people.
I became an artist, and thank God I did.
because we are the only profession that celebrates what it means to live a life.
The wrenching family drama Manchester by the Sea earned an Oscar for Casey Affleck, honored as Best Actor and for Original Screenplay. Throughout the award show, President Donald Trump was a target of criticism as host Jimmy Kimmel and some presenters and winners took aim at his policy barring entry of people from 7 mostly Muslim nations, a ban now put on hold by the courts. Iranian director Asghar Farhadi, who won the Oscar for Best Foreign Language Film for The Salesman, did not attend the ceremony in protest. An Iranian-American scientist read his acceptance speech, saying the immigration ban breeds fear while filmmakers create empathy with others. First-time winner Emma Stone was grateful as she held her Oscar statuette that her work is now being recognized.
I still have a lot of growing and learning and work to do. And this guy is a really beautiful symbol to continue on that journey, and I am so grateful for that. So thank you so much.
The Oscars are presented by the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences and are the highlight of the year in Hollywood. Mike O'Sullivan, VOA News, Los Angeles.
Well, not as a dramatic ending to our program. You've been listening to VOA Asia. Be sure to check us out on Facebook at VOA Asia. And while you're online, check out our podcast. Download it and take VOA Asia with you wherever you go. You can also find us on our website at voanews.com. Well, we give out the Real Life Awards each and every day. Our Best Director, Tracy Carter, Best Engineer, Jimmy Cook, and our Best Managing Editor, Diane Gao. Our VOA Asia team always turns in a great performance each and every day, too. We thank everyone involved. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. We hope you have a wonderful day ahead.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The United States strongly supports NATO and will be unwavering in its commitment to the transatlantic alliance, said Vice President Mike Pence in a speech at the Munich Security Conference. But Europe's defense, he said, requires your commitment as much as ours. Our transatlantic alliance has at its core two principles that are central to this mission. In Article 5, alliance members pledge to come to each other's aid in the event of an attack. In Article 3, members vow to contribute, maintain, and develop their individual and collective capacity to resist attack. The promise to share the burden of our defense has gone unfulfilled for too many, for too long, said Vice President Pence, and it erodes the very foundation of our alliance. In 2014, each member state committed to work toward spending 2% of their gross domestic product on defense within a decade. But only the United States and 4 other members are meeting the standard, Mr. Pence said. Let me be clear on this point. The President of the United States expects our allies to keep their word, to fulfill this commitment, and for most, that means the time has come to do more, said Mr. Pence. The rise of adversaries, new and old, demands a strong response from NATO, said the Vice President. In the East, NATO has embarked on improvement in its deterrent posture by stationing 4 combat-ready multinational battalions in Poland and the Baltic states. The United States will continue its leadership role in this enhanced forward presence initiative and other critical joint actions. With regard to Ukraine, said Vice President Pence, our alliance will continue to hold Russia accountable and demand that they honor the Minsk agreements, beginning with de-escalating violence in eastern Ukraine. At the same time, Vice President Pence urged NATO to adapt to new challenges. In particular, he noted the need for the alliance to intensify efforts to cut off terrorist funding and increase cyber capabilities. A stronger NATO means a safer world. And the United States of America looks forward to continuing to work with its partners in NATO to achieve just that.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.